Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Adrian Ott, CEO and founder of Exponential Edge Incorporated, has been called one of Silicon Valley's most respected, if not the most respected, strategist by Consulting Magazine. She has collaborated with some of the most innovative companies in the world, including Hewlett-Packard, Microsoft, Sierra Ventures, Seagate, AT&T, and Clorox, to name a few. She's the author of a new book, The 24-Hour Customer, New Rules for Winning in a Time-Starved, Always-Connected Economy. Welcome to Edgewise, Adrian.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What is the 24-Hour Customer?
We think about the 24-hour customer in the sense that we factor time into so many of our decisions these days. What I found in my work over the past several years looking at time is it's one of the notions most integral to our decision-making, but it is also the most overlooked by executives. The executives tend to devote a lot of attention to customer demographics, to pricing, and to product functionality, yet they pay little attention to how time factors into customer decision-making.
So how does time factor into the customer decision-making process? Can you talk about that?
Time is one of our scarcest resources today. We have become an instant gratification society. We've become accustomed to instant downloads and overnight delivery. So there's a certain expectation among customers these days.
Mm-hmm.
Customers expect products to be easy to buy, to be easy and not take a lot of effort to set up, and also in terms of consumption. But it goes beyond just these elements of speed relating to the products. There are many ways that customers work with products in the sense that we evaluate products based on time alternatives. We may say, are we going to spend our time on this activity or are we going to spend our time on that activity? And how does the product fit into that activity?
Right.
Do we need to consider this other alternative of our time? So this is a finite and scarce resource for the customer. And the book takes a look at the 24 hours the customer has and how they make these decisions and trade-offs as to where they devote their time and attention.
Well, that means you should incorporate time into the fashioning of the product, the services, or the programs.
That's correct. What I found in my research looking at companies that took what I call a time value economic or time-onomic perspective toward their customers is they were able to define breakthrough offerings that took advantage of and harnessed customer time.
That's interesting.
But it may not necessarily have been just saving them time. It could have been improving the time that they spend with the product and getting them to spend more time with them as a company.
Mm-hmm.
Because time is not finite and consistent. What I found is there are ebbs and flows of time. If you can harness these ebbs and flows, you can be very effective in today's economy.
So you can use time then as a strategic weapon against competitors.
Yes, that was another outcome I found at a number of companies. Not only were they able to innovate breakthrough offerings that changed the way they interacted and had relationships with customers, it also changed the way the markets interacted.
Mm-hmm. But can you explain what you mean by that?
Let me give you a very quick and simple example.
Go ahead.
Netflix, movies on demand, changed the way customers interacted with movies in the sense that rather than being on a fixed time schedule, they allowed customers to choose the time that they want to watch a movie and in the most convenient way.
Hmm.
So companies like Netflix and Hulu and TiVo changed the nature of and ultimately disrupted the entertainment industry and how it operated.
Got it.
So this is an opportunity that this kind of thinking provides.
All right. Now, in your book, you introduce the concept of the timeographic framework. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. We have ebbs and flows to our attention. There are times, for example, we get a call from a sales rep and we'll say, go away. It's not a good time. And we want to spend as little time as possible. Yet there are other times we make priorities and we can spend hours surfing the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
my book explores these ebbs and flows in time and what are the triggers that cause people to devote additional time and attention, and what are those things that cause us to shun and say, I want to spend as little time as possible in this area. What I came up with was the Timographics Framework, which is a way to help executives understand how people make prioritization of different products and services, because we only have 24 hours in the day and we can't devote all of our time to everything that we want. So we make trade-offs between how much attention we're going to spend to something or how little attention, and similarly, how much time we're going to devote.
Mm-hmm. And you go on to explain four time and attention-based quadrants. One of the quadrants is the habit quadrant.
Yes. Habit quadrant I tend to think of as time on autopilot. Psychologists have found that people spend almost half their day in repetitive and unthinking tasks, in regular habits and routines. And it's a way that we cope with the information overload in today's economy.
Hmm.
The habit quadrant is a very important quadrant for executives to consider today, because so often we define products, we put them out on the market, but we don't think about how is that product going to fit into an existing routine, because if half the day is being spent in something routine and unthinking, if we don't think about how it's going to fit into that, it may be overlooked and not adopted. And this is why executives spend billions of dollars putting products on the market that are not accepted by customers. Similarly, if you're not thinking about how you're going to get it integrated with an existing routine, how are you going to create enough value to incent a customer to change their habits and routines?
Right.
Habits can be difficult to change, especially if those habits that are deeply embedded into the limbic systems of our brains. But a good example of a product that inserted itself well into people's routines is the instant hand sanitizer that we see everywhere. You see them in a restroom now and healthcare facilities, you see them in gyms, people carry them in their purses, and that's just a little habit they've inserted into people's routines because people do not want to get sick.
Hmm. Okay, but in your book, you mentioned there were two. What about the BlackBerry?
Oh, yes, of course. The BlackBerry is another example of a habit that has been inserted into our routines.
Right.
15 years ago, people couldn't get data on their mobile devices, and many people didn't even have mobile devices. What is occurring today is mobile devices are creating a tremendous opportunity for businesses to develop routines and habits around their products and services. And we're seeing some interesting applications develop, particularly in the mobile health area, that are really improving the lives of customers. For example, there are companies that are generating text reminders for senior citizens to take their medications on time.
Okay, let's talk about time savers and the convenience quadrant.
Time savers, as the name suggests, save us time. And the opportunity there is trying to think, how can we help improve productivity for the customer? Can we take steps out of the process?
Right.
But there also are opportunities that are created because of procrastination. Sometimes we are so busy that we just don't have time to make something happen and need something to take place at the last minute. Good example of that, and probably the prime example, is FedEx. When FedEx came up with their overnight delivery service, it was a case of procrastination and that a business executive would be running up against a deadline and needed to get something somewhere overnight.
Mm-hmm.
FedEx provided that service. There are newer examples that are coming up over the internet where not only can you help people with their productivity needs and assist with their last minute requests, but you can be predictive and provide predictive convenience to them, because once you have some information and know about your customers, you can start to think about what do they need next and how can I anticipate what they might need because they're short on time and they're going to need that.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Can you give us an example?
Yes. Garde Robe, a company based in New York City that helps travelers save time going through airports by providing services to transport their clothes to a hotel room so they don't have to wait in line at the airport or go through customs if they're traveling internationally. They can have their clothes shipped and sent from a storage unit that they have in New York City to another location.
Right.
Because they have the inventory of what the customer is placing at their destination, they can sometimes anticipate that maybe they forgot an umbrella.
Okay.
And if they're leaving Heathrow Airport, coming to New York City, and it's raining in New York City, they can make sure that they have an umbrella in the wardrobe mm-hmm. they've assembled for them at their hotel. And that's an example of predictive convenience and how systems can help us to better serve customers and be very timely in providing value.
Well, of course, there's another issue, and that's how many of us husbands on Valentine's Day head home realizing we've forgotten the flowers.
Yes, or a birthday gift.
Exactly. So what's the answer to that one?
This is just-in-time availability of products and services when the customer needs them.
For instance?
There's a company called Zoom Systems that provides convenience kiosks located in airports.
Hmm.
So often, in our hectic travel schedules, an executive may forget a gift for a loved one. Oftentimes, they can buy gifts in these machines, or even it could be a forgotten item like a headset for a cell phone, so they're not inconvenienced on the road.
Right. And then there's the amount of time a customer is willing to spend evaluating a product or interacting with a company.
This is another quadrant in the Timeographics framework. With time minimized, the time and attention the customer pays is only long enough to get the price and move on.
Uh-huh.
You need to recognize that. Now, there's a number of companies out there proclaiming on the internet that we're getting all these followers of our company. Isn't that wonderful that they're paying attention to us? But the relationship with the customer is not that they're really listening to a lot of information. They just want the coupons and they just want to save money. So they're paying attention to just this minimal amount of information and then they're going to move on.
Right. And what exactly does that suggest?
Well, trying to write long blog posts to these customers is not going to be effective because the customer doesn't have that kind of relationship with the company. We have to think about how everyone's making these prioritization decisions throughout our day. About how much time and attention are we going to pay to the different products and services we buy? And there's just not enough hours in the day to pay attention to all of them.
And what about time magnets? What are they?
Time magnets are a very powerful position for certain companies. If you can gain the time and attention of your customers, they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to want to spend time with you. And studies have shown the longer that customers devote time and attention to companies, the more money they spend.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Disney World, you're spending the entire time in Disney World with your family, and you like to be there, yet Disney is offering you all kinds of opportunities to buy things. They have stores, they have offers, they have your time and attention. Other examples are gaming companies like Farmville on Facebook. People have spent run rate here in 2010 of about $300 million buying virtual goods for other people.
So what is that?
You'll get a friend on Facebook saying, can you help me with my farm on Facebook? Can you buy me a virtual goat? It sounds very odd, but this is very real, and people are paying real money for these things.
Right.
I talked in the book about things that trigger us, and it has to do with social obligation more than it has to do with buying, which is you're helping out your friends. But these are the kinds of things that are triggered when you have a time magnet. They're very motivational to us.
Yeah.
We can spend hours surfing the internet because we're learning something new and it's interesting to us.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, one of the challenges of being in a time magnet, and most of marketing has been very fascinated by being in a time magnet, is this tends to be a very unstable position for many companies.
Right.
You may get attention for a while, but time moves on and we move on to other things. So it's very difficult for many companies to sustain that position unless they're set up to continually invest and maintain that kind of position. Disney is a company that does this extremely well. Apple does this extremely well. They continue to introduce new products that continue to entice people and keep them interested in what they're doing. And people are willing to go to the Apple stores and spend time. But there are other products that we look at and we buy where it's really not a realistic position, but this is where other quadrants can be a viable solution for a company as well. In fact, the time on automatic or the habit quadrant is a very viable position for many companies.
Right.
The telephone companies and the banks tend to be in those quadrants, and they do quite well.
Okay. Now, obviously, there are issues with any new product development, and I'm sure that in the course of things, some of these products fail, some of them succeed. But what you're suggesting is time now can and should be a factor in product development and service creation.
That's correct. And this is a factor that tends to be overlooked.
Yeah.
There's two key areas. One is, how can you factor time and fit into the customer's lifestyle and fit into their routines? But there's another element to this. Products are brought up, but we don't think about what it's going to take for a customer to adopt a product, or what are the factors that are preventing them from adopting the product. So we tend to look at wants and needs for the customer, but sometimes we need to factor in the situation as well.
All right. So how would you describe that?
Well, we may all want to lose weight. We may all need to lose weight for health reasons, but we often can't, and that's because of time alternatives and conflicting time pressures that are preventing us from being able to do that. If you can start to address some of those conflicts in time, those things that are preventing the customer from being able to manage their weight loss program, then you can start to address the problem.
Adrienne, how is this going to evolve? What is the future of the 24-hour customer?
I think it's going to become even more relevant as we move forward. We're starting to see this in the mobile arena, where we have mobile devices and data that's at our fingertips. So we're going to see location-based data. We're also going to see the barriers of time start to break down. Good example of that is Cisco with their telepresence solution. They've redefined face-to-face meetings. Instead of traveling, you can go into their telepresence center, and it's an incredible experience because it's like being across a conference table and you see the people that are in the meeting, even though they're thousands of miles away. So that is breaking down the barriers of time zones and redefining how we're going to have relationships with each other going forward.
Adrienne, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes. I don't see time as a problem. There's a tremendous opportunity for executives to take advantage of the way that time factors into people's decisions and to be able to innovate breakthrough opportunities. What I found is companies that have taken a time-onomics perspective toward their customers have really changed the game and been able to redefine how they work with their customers and also their competitive position in the marketplace.
We've been talking to Adrienne Ott, author of the book, The 24-Hour Customer, New Rules for Winning in a Time-Starved, Always Connected Economy. Adrienne, thanks so much for being with us today on Edgewise.
Dave, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Do you understand the complexities of the coming GAAP to IFRS changeover? AMA's new seminar explores these new guidelines by examining actual financial statements prepared in accordance with IFRS and comparing the principal differences between them and United States GAAP. By taking this seminar, you will not only become familiar with IFRS, but you will be significantly ahead of the pack when the changeover occurs. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 1238 into the search box. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.